Welcome into this week's Cornhusker Conversation presented by Woodhouse. I'm Jessica Cootey and excited to be joined by the sophomore linebacker, but all things Mr. Special Teams, Jacob Bauer. Thank you for being here with us.
Thank you for having me.
You are all over the special teams, and what a week you guys had last week. How much fun was it to be a part of what the special teams unit did last week?
Last week was awesome. It was a great game. All four special teams were working really well. It was great meetings on Sunday, too. So
the punt block and then Carter Nelson returned, Jameer Khan and Carter Nelson, you know, what went well there? I mean, and you guys practiced that, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, how important was that? You spoke it into existence, basically.
Right. Yeah, we practiced that all week. Jameer, Coach Rule called out that Jameer would block this punt, I mean, on Tuesday, I think. And so after practice on Tuesday, we were working the block with Jameer. And after practice on Wednesday, working that same block with Jameer. And it was a great play. I was ecstatic. I went right to the sideline to go look at the iPad to see what happened because I was doing my job. I didn't see it, but yeah, Carter did a great job scooping it up, scoring, and we all celebrated. It was awesome.
You know, what I thought was great too, and I think it speaks to where this team is and just even the pride that you take on special teams. So Carter, after the game, didn't even want to talk about him scoring the touchdown. He wanted to apologize on the punt return that got called back, which Ja'Cory wanted to say, I apologize to Ja'Cory Barney. What does that say just about the mentality of this group and just the care and want to on everything special teams?
Right. Well, we take pride in that punt return unit, like you said. Our goal is to get Ja'Cory as many yards as possible, touchdowns as possible. I think it really shows the camaraderie of our team in that unit altogether. Carter's a great guy, and he just made a mistake, but we got, you know, what's next mentality. We played the next play, and he's a great guy on that unit specifically, so mistakes happen.
What's it like blocking for Ja'Cory Barney?
I mean, he's electric. You know, he can make something happen with nothing, and all we got to do is do our job, and so Coach X schemes it up perfect every week. We just have to do what we are coached. Technique is our huge focus every day at practice. And so, like I said, he's an electric player. He's going to make a play happen. And we just have to do what we have to do. And Ja'Cory is going to make it work. So,
on the flip side of that, what's it like having a guy like Archie Wilson back there that you're on that unit as well?
I love Archie. he's a great character in the locker room, super great guy. Just last night, he was in academics until 9 p.m. and he had the biggest smile on his face. Like, he's always just a positive dude. So I love Arch. Super. I mean, he punts great every practice. Super consistent. I love blocking for him, and I love. He's a really great punter. Yeah.
You know, I've talked a lot about this on the broadcast. Just you could tell the difference in how you guys are. Every little detail it seems to matter, and whatever. Every single player coming over to the sidelines, you're going right to the iPads and seeing what could be done better. And even when you celebrate it, but you're always looking at all the little details. How important has that become? What are you doing when you come to the sideline and looking at the iPads? How is that helping with what you're doing on the field?
Right. It's just a quick, we're just analyzing the play that had just happened. We don't want to dwell on what had happened, good or bad. We just want to have a what's next mentality. I guess what I personally do when I go over to the iPad is just to see maybe something I didn't see. I mean, I have a good understanding of what happened at play, but I like to see like the whole thing from a bird's eye view and seeing things in a different way so I could react differently the next play, if that makes sense. But as a unit, yeah, we huddle up on the sideline right after that play just to see like what they're doing, if they're doing what we were expecting, if they're doing something different. And then just to clear up, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that with Coach Eck. And then, again, what's next mentality, trying to play the next play. And, yeah.
What is it about Coach Eckler that he has instilled just this belief, this confidence, this swagger in the special teams units?
Man, he has so much energy. And not only energy, but he's just a great, great coach and a great guy. After every game, whether or not I played good or bad, he comes up to me at my locker and he's just like, hey, man, I love everything you're doing. You're great on special teams. Keep kicking butt. And I just like it's very reassuring to have a coach like that who really believes in you, who will text you throughout the week, who invites you to come up to his office just to watch the opposing personnel to see who I'm going up against. So it's great when a coach gives you confidence when you're out there on the field and makes you want to play for somebody like him. So I think that's what makes Coach Eckler Coach Eckler.
You on the sidelines too. I mean, you're a leader in that group, and you're talking and coaching guys up and always constantly communicating too. Take me through that and stepping into that role. Why has that been important for you to be one of those guys for this unit?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of young guys on that unit. So being a little bit older than them, I just, again, feel like it's part of my responsibility to give them, you know, a voice out there. I always tell Mosey or Kenneth, whoever's running on kickoff return, you know, run right behind me because I'm going to make my block. You don't have to worry about that. So, just being a leader on there and letting the guys know that I'm going to do my job. All you got to do is your job and we'll be great. And, I mean, it's worked thus far. I mean, we're a great special teams unit, all four. And, yeah.
Not everybody wants to do that. Why have you enjoyed it? Why have you embraced that kind of role?
The special teams role?
Yeah.
Yeah. At the beginning of the season, Coach Mosey talked about embracing our roles, and whether or not that's, you know, a linebacker position or a special teams position, I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. That's just how I was raised. That's my belief. I can't be the best linebacker if I don't, you know, do my best at special teams. And so eventually, you know, my time will come for linebacker, and eventually that, you know, I'll be at that role. But for now, I'm going to embrace what I've got. I'm going to do what the team needs. And damn, I'm going to do it as best as I can and give everything I've got for it.
No, I love that. So people might remember your story from the spring. You were a walk-on, and then the coach gave you a scholarship. Mm-hmm. Take us back to that and tell us that story again. Just what was that moment like, and how special was that to be a part of that?
It was a surreal moment. It was unexpected. It was expected in my mind, but I just appreciate the camaraderie of it all. You know, all my buddies coming up after me and telling me how much they love me and giving me all the support that I needed at the time. And it was a tough time. I wasn't sure what was going to happen, you know, with the 105 rule and all that. And so I just, you know, trusted God, and I played every day as if it were the new day. And I was just grateful for it all, and one thing led to another. I got the scholarship, and, you know, things went rolling from there. So,
describe the phone call to mom. Your mom.
Yeah, that was probably the best part of it all. I remember after practice, I ran straight to the barbershop room, and I just wanted a place to, like, myself. All my friends were coming up, like I said, all my friends were coming up to me and, you know, patting my back and telling me congrats. But I was, you know, adamant on calling my mom. So I found a quiet corner and I called her, and I was, you know, crying, and I was trying not to cry, but I wanted to tell her the news. And it was something that I had been working for a long time. And so just at that moment, telling her those words really meant a lot to me and a lot to her. And Coach Rob was standing around the corner, and he was watching me. So it was a great moment. Yeah.
You cried. Did she cry?
She did cry. Yeah, she got me crying. So right when I picked up the phone, I think she had known something was up, because, like, she was just sitting there. I think she had to cancel her work call at the time. And she was sitting in her office, and, like, it was on FaceTime. And so when I told her about, like, what was happening, she started crying, tearing up. And then I started tearing up, and I wanted to be strong for her. So, but, yeah, it was a great moment. So.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So it was right after it happened. You were part of the media availability, and I was able to chat with you. And you told me a story about you came here as what, an 8-10 year old in the choir.
Yeah, actually, right here in this building, I was in the All American Boys Choir chorus. Sorry, they'll get mad that I said that. But what we did was we would travel. We went to China one year. This year or that year, we went to, it was the Midwest tour. We had gone to Colorado, Kansas, and Nebraska, and we would do sightseeing as well as singing. But our sightseeing trips were on, like, going to, like, the big things in that area. So Colorado, we went to Pikes Peak, and Nebraska, we went to Lincoln Memorial Stadium. And so, like, just downstairs in this building, we were we sang in the little lobby for the guys. We walked throughout the halls of the old facility. We ran out into the field. It was snowing. It was winter during that time. So we got, like, Miss Casero took photos of us running out onto the field that I still have. And so it was just a full circle moment. When I was 10 years old, I was doing this, and I had no idea that this was it was going to be where I was going to play football for at. And so, it was just a full circle moment.
What impression did Nebraska in the stadium and being here leave on you as a 10-year-old?
I remember it being so big. That's the one thing I do remember. I mean, everything feels bigger when you're a little kid, but walking out into the field, I just, like, it felt like this is where you want to be. You know, like, there's no place like it, as they say. And out in the 50-yard line, looking around, like, having hundreds of thousands of fans screaming your name and all that kind of stuff. Like, this is what you work for, you know, going throughout high school and all that. And so I never forgot that moment of being out there. And I always worked towards it throughout high school. And, yeah, now I'm here, so.
Wow. Can you still sing?
Yeah, I could sing. I play guitar, so I could, you know. I did sing for Coach Rule in the Freshman Year Talent Show a couple years back. So
what'd you sing?
What did I sing? It was meow, 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 that song. I forget the name of it, but I learned it because I knew Coach Rule liked that song. Tennessee Whiskey, that's what it was. Yeah,
yep,
Tennessee
yep.
Whiskey.
Did you bring down the house?
I don't know if my singers weren't really loud. So it was like I was playing the guitar. They were singing for me, but they didn't really know the words. Me and Jacob Brandel and a bunch of other guys. But it was a great moment. I thought I did great. I thought I did awesome playing the guitar.
That's awesome. Have you always played the guitar?
I picked it up my sophomore year of high school. I asked Santa for an electric guitar, and it went from there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very cool. You know, you also played rugby, and that mm-hmm. also was an option for you. I know you had offers to play rugby in college, mm-hmm. but why did you choose football over rugby? And I guess take us through that decision.
Yeah, it was a tough decision. It was my senior year of high school where it was like coming down to the wire. And I remember it was very stressful between me and my mom, and I didn't know where I was going to go. And I had gotten accepted into West Point, the military academy, to play rugby there. And I had a lot of opportunities for rugby, but I had nothing for football. And football was the one sport that I played since I was a kid, and it always had my heart. I just picked up rugby my sophomore year of high school and just to stay conditioned and to, you know, shore up my technique for football. And so rugby wasn't really, like, the first choice, but I was pretty dead set on going there, West Point. And, I got the phone call in late April of my senior year, and it was Omar, and he had called me saying that they had seen another guy's film who had committed to USC. It was a running back, and they were watching film on him, and they had seen me make a tackle on him, and then they looked at my film, and then they had walk-on spots. So they saw me make that tackle, they looked at my film, and then they offered me a walk-on opportunity. Really late into that year, it was when Rule was it was his first year at Nebraska, so I think he had like extra spots to give for like walk-ons, and I got that phone call, and I mean right when I got that call, I basically knew I wanted to come here. The rest was history right when I got that phone call. So
did you think about running out on the field here when you were 10 years old?
Yes, I did. Yeah, actually, it took me a minute to remember that I had been here before, and yeah, it was, I talked to my mom about it, and she pulled up the photos, and I was like, oh yeah, like that's that place. That was that big Memorial Stadium, the one that I had always like had in the back of my mind, something that I wanted to go towards. And so, yeah, it was full circle.
Wow. What made you believe that, you know, football had your heart, but what made you believe you could come here and find your way into a role here with Nebraska?
My family. I think my family, you know, I didn't really think of myself as a walk-on. I thought of myself as a guy who could compete with these other guys, and I knew what I was capable of. And but my family really helped me instill that belief in me, and they you know, they're always there to talk to. I call my brothers regularly to watch film in the film room after practice, and so I knew that I could compete from day one, and I just needed them to, you know, back me up and help me out, and I knew what I was capable of. Yeah.
You said you played rugby to help with your conditioning and technique. What role has rugby played in the football player you became?
Yeah, rugby helped tackling 100%. We used to drill tackling all the time with Coach Sam and the Raptors. And along with tackling was the conditioning aspect. I mean, rugby is like soccer. You know, it's 90 minutes full. You don't stop, really. There's no, like, 5-6 second plays, and then you take a break. Rugby is just all running, and so it helped with conditioning, it helped with tackling. It gave me confidence because I was really good at rugby, and the following year after having a breakout rugby season, I had a breakout football season in my senior year of high school because I felt really confident. So rugby did a lot for me those final years of high school.
Oh, that's awesome. You talked about John Bullock being a mentor to you. Mm-hmm. What's it like seeing him having a role on an NFL team this year?
Yeah, John deserves the best. He's such a great guy and such a hard worker. I watch his games in the Bucks all the time. We talked over fall camp and we've been in communication. And he's doing his thing and I'm doing mine, but we'll catch up regularly, and he'll tell me how he's doing, and he'll give me tips on how I can be doing better. And, but yeah, man, he's a great guy, and he deserves everything that he's got, and he's earned everything that he's got. So great to see him, succeed.
Yeah, for sure. You're a mechanical engineering major.
Yes, I am.
What made you interested in that?
A lot of people ask me, and I still really don't have a good idea of that, for that answer, but I was good at math in high school, good at science, and I'm interested in, building things and, being creative and working with my hands. So I always wanted to be a mechanical engineer, and I was actually, again, on that trip, we went to, a private jet organization. They made private jets and they flew them. It's in Lincoln Airport, I think. And we went on like this tour on the choir tour, the chorus tour. We toured their facility of like these private jets, and they talked about aerospace engineers. And Nebraska doesn't offer aerospace engineering, but they offer mechanical. And mechanical is like a very wide field. You could do a lot of different things with it. So I chose mechanical engineering to pursue possibly aerospace and building jets and rockets. It might be a little too crazy, but it was just something that I wanted to get done, and I wanted to pick a wide field where I could do a lot with it. So mechanical engineering was the perfect choice.
Well, it's impressive. We were talking that tonight you got to go do a bunch of homework every day. It's
yeah,
a heavy
yeah.
workload.
Yeah, we have homework due almost every night, so we're always busy.
How do you balance everything as a football player mm-hmm. and then just such a demanding major as well?
I have a great roommate who's also mechanical engineering, Connor Keneally. We try to get classes together with our academic advisor. We try to, sort it out. And he's always working with me. And I got classmates, Merrick, and they're always working with me to, help me. And obviously the academic side, they give us tutors and constant support. And so it's really hard to fail. It's crazy as it sounds, but it's hard to fail with how much support we're given. So
yeah, that's awesome. All right, well, let's circle back and talk about this weekend. First, Coach Rule even said it, first actual road trip, because Kansas City, and
right.
it's kind of like a home game
right.
for you
yeah,
guys.
Yeah.
But first road trip, going out a day early, just what have you guys talked about kind of approaching this and being good here for the first time on the road?
On the defensive side, we're focusing on preparing for the run game. As their coaches said that they were going to attack our run game, we have just been constantly working in meetings to just shore up the run game, find the little bits and pieces that aren't working out. And we're always meeting as a unit defensively and on the side with the linebackers working together. And we're just there we're getting prepared to stop number 7, their quarterback, and all that kind of stuff.
How about special teams? I know you guys taking a lot of pride in that, but on the road in the Big Ten Conference, how important is another great performance by the special teams units?
Yeah, we're just going to do what we've been doing. Like I said, we meet with Coach Eck on the side after practice to, shore up everything that we've got. We're always looking at their personnel and basing our plays off of their personnel. And we're just going to keep doing what we've been doing, and it'll work out for us, yeah.
Awesome. Great stuff. What a great conversation. A fascinating story. Thank you for spending some time with us, and best of luck this weekend. Go get them.
Thank you.
Jacob Bauer here on this week's Cornhusker Conversation presented by Woodhouse. Woodhouse has been a trusted partner in your everyday since 1975. Shop for your next vehicle with the home team at Woodhouse and the official auto dealer of Nebraska Athletics.